Good morning. I'm glad to welcome you to our worship service this morning, and glad especially to welcome all our visitors and our guests. We're glad you're here and hope that you'll come back again and worship with us again. We had a wonderful event last night, and I have to tell you that after that event, all week long, I've been getting a really bad throat where I could not talk at all. But the good news is Jim's throat's just fine. After last night, his fingers are all tired, but mine are fine. So if we just switch roles, no, maybe not. No.
But and
my playing would be horrible. So you wanted to speak about the... I'll also remind you that the preschool, spring fling is this Wednesday night for our gathering. They're serving spaghetti, and there'll be all sorts of other activities, silent auctions, all kind of ways to support our preschool Wednesday night. Mary Lewis, you wanted to, there you are, you wanted to say something? Thank you, Mary. Sarah. How in the world did you talk Brandon into that? Okay. Finally, let me let you know, as I've already told you, I'm getting over a really bad throat. Earlier this week, I couldn't talk at all. And while I am much better, singing is beyond my capability at this point. So when we get to communion, the parts that I normally sing, I will speak them today. And I'll also tell you that in liturgical churches, when the leader sings, you're supposed to sing back. When the leader speaks, you're supposed to speak back. So the parts, even though it's music in the bulletin, we'll be speaking those parts today. Okay? All right, let us prepare for our worship. Please rise. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the fountain of living water, the rock who gave us birth, our light and our salvation.
Amen.
Let us come into the revealing and healing light of God, confessing our sin. God of grace and glory, you have brought us through the night of sin into the light of Jesus' resurrection. Yet our lives are still shadowed by sin. Make us alive in Christ, O God. Make us new as you make all things new. Rescue us from evil and the gloom of sin. Renew us in grace and restore us to living in your holy. Through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. Rejoice with all creation around God's throne. The light of the risen Christ puts to flight all evil deeds, washes away sin, restores innocence to the fallen, casts out hate, brings peace, and humbles earthly pride. Jesus Christ loves you and frees you from your sins by his blood. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. To be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Eternal and all merciful God, with all the angels and all the saints, we laud your majesty and might. By the resurrection of your Son, show yourself to us and inspire us to follow Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
reading from Acts. Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless because they heard the voice but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." He answered, "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who invoke your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way here, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and his sight was restored. Then he got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. For several days he was with the disciples in Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." The word of the Lord. Reading from Revelation. John writes, "Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels surrounding the throne and the living creatures and the elders. They numbered myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, singing with full voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slaughtered to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing.' Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them singing, 'To the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever.' And the four living creatures said, 'Amen.' And the elders fell down and worshiped." The word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 21st chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After he appeared to his followers in Jerusalem, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Be seated. A young pastor had rung the doorbell at the home of one of his parishioners and was waiting to be received, but no one came to the door. He sensed that someone was at home, but repeated ringing of the bell brought no response. As a final departing act, he wrote Revelation 3:20 on the back of one of his business cards and stuck it under the door. If they found the card and looked up the verse, it would read, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in."
Well, 2 days later, the pastor received his card back in an envelope with a brief note attached that simply said, Genesis 3:10. The pastor ran to his Bible and read, I heard the sound of thee in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Now, just to put your mind at ease, and mine too, I'll probably call before I come by. Nevertheless, this little story brings an odd part of our gospel lesson to mind this morning. The story of Jesus appearing to his disciples beside the Sea of Galilee is a rich and full appearance of the risen Jesus. But it always causes us to wonder at a number of things. We know it's about the risen Jesus, but there are several details either left out or included that seem to confuse us. For example, this one is left out. Where did Jesus get the fish that he was already cooking when the disciples got on shore? Or here's one that's included. Why did John let us know there were 153 fish in the net? And then there's this one, which may be the most confusing one of all. Peter was fishing naked, and when John said that the person on the shore was Jesus, Peter puts on his clothes and then jumps into the water to swim to shore. That's odd, isn't it? You would think that anyone would take off his clothes to go swimming, not put them on. But that's what Peter does. And our gospel writer thought it was significant enough to include that detail. So what's going on? It started in the garden. After Adam and Eve had eaten the forbidden fruit, God came to them, and as we've already heard, they were afraid and hid themselves. But that's not all they did. They also made clothes for themselves. The crime had been done. Now it was time for the cover-up. Literally. They didn't want God to find them, and even more, they didn't want God to find them out. And maybe that's what was going on for Peter, too. As soon as he heard it was the Lord on the shore, he put on his clothes. He was anxious to be with the risen Jesus, so he swam to shore, but also there inside of him was that guilt of denying Jesus on the night of his trial. He'd rather Jesus not know about any of that. You see, Peter was naked on the boat, but he was worried that with Jesus, he'd be exposed. So putting on clothes may have been his way of covering up. If he could hide his sin, he could pretend it wasn't there. That's our own story, isn't it? Maybe when you were a child, you might remember some transgression that you tried to hide from your parents. Man, maybe these many years later, we haven't grown up very much because we still try to hide things from God. If we can convince ourselves it's not real, then it must not be real. Like Peter, we put on the clothes of self-delusion, pretending that if we don't think about what we have done wrong, or if we cover it up with some other good deed, then God won't know about it. But it's clear that Jesus knew what Peter had done. And what's more, Jesus knew why Peter had put on his clothes. He said, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And Peter said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my lambs. And then a second time, Jesus said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. And then Jesus said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" You see, right there, Peter realized that Jesus knew. Right there, he realized he had been found out and exposed. So Peter said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Three times Peter had denied Jesus. And as he three times affirmed his love for Jesus now, he realized that he already had the forgiveness from God that he needed, and now he could forgive himself as well. And even more, he could move on into the new and wonderful mission that Christ was giving him. He was to care for God's people. That's grace. For exactly the same thing happens for each one of us. We have the grace of God's forgiveness for the many wrongs in our lives. And in realizing that grace already given to us, we can forgive ourselves as well and move on to a new beginning, a new calling, and a new mission. It's a bright, brand new day. Oh, people of God, take off your clothes. Don't hide anymore. Jump into the sea of God's Easter grace. Amen.
Gathered as God's people, we confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried.
He ascended to the dead. On the third day he rose again.
He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father,
and he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Catholic Church,
the communion of saints,
the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Saving God, we thank you today that you have made us new. We thank you that you make us yours. We thank you that you are with us now and that you offer your love and forgiveness so generously. In this season of life, give us new life. Give us new faith. Give us new zeal. Give us new hope. Lord, in your mercy. O God, our Father, we thank you for your many blessings to us. We thank you for our homes and our loved ones and ask that you hold them in your care. We thank you for this land in which we live and ask that you help us to follow the way of justice and peace together. We thank you for the church and for the fellowship which unites us here in this place as we join in worship. Unite us as one people, O God. Unite us as your people. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Savior, in love you said, come to me all who are heavy laden and I will give you rest. Dwell strongly in the hearts of those who are sick and suffering, those who are grieving and who miss their loved ones, those who are hungry, and those who are facing difficult family situations. We entrust them into your hands, loving God. Bless all in need, and especially all those whom we remember before you. Lord, in your mercy. Finally, O God, give comfort and peace to our broken lives and help us to find the way to live together in support and care and love. Lead us to find the way to nurture and encourage one another, and in particular those who are most hurting among us. Lead us into a new day as your people, filled with light and love and mercy and peace. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share God's peace.
heaven and earth. Day by day you shower us with blessings, as you have raised us to new life in Christ. Give us glad and generous hearts, ready to praise you and to respond to those in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord.
Loving God, we praise you for creating the heavens and the earth. We bless you for bringing Noah and his family through the waters of the flood, for freeing your people Israel from the bonds of slavery, and for sending your Son to be our Redeemer. We give you thanks for Jesus, who living among us healed the sick, fed the hungry, and with a love stronger than death, gave his life for others. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his life-giving death and glorious resurrection, we await your promised life for all this dying world. Breathe your Spirit on us and on this bread and cup, and carry us in your arms from death to life, that we may live as your chosen ones, clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Through him all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, both now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done,
on earth
as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Body of Christ given for you.
The body of Christ.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O God, that you make your home with us, bringing heaven to earth in this holy meal. Fill us with your Spirit as we go from here, that we may wipe away tears, tend to those in mourning and pain, seek the healing of the nations, and bring to earth the presence of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Oh, Been good.